The subject that we have on our mind this morning is the subject of giving. It's not always an easy one to hear, and it's not always an easy one to preach, but it's in God's Word. So it's about giving. What is the purpose of giving? When I'm talking about giving, of course, we're talking about giving in many different ways to the Lord. It might be our time that we give to the Lord. We need to give time to the Lord, right? We need to give time to pray to God. We need to give time to meditate and to read God's Word. We need to take that time to be with the Lord. That is things that we need to do. But we also need to give ourselves to the Lord, our bodies, and our service to God. And we need to give monetarily, and that is money. And that's where, you know, it's always can be a difficult subject to preach on. And there's probably no subject, that has more to say in the Bible than that of money. Because we, as a people, right, as a people, we covet money. We want money, and we want more money. So the concept of giving is always a concept that can kind of rub us the wrong way in a sense. But it is a needful thing that there is a proper understanding of giving. And that's really what I want to get to today, is the understanding of giving to the Lord. And why do we give to the Lord? Here in the 25th chapter of Exodus, from Exodus 25 through Exodus chapter 40, we have here the instructions of the building of the sanctuary or the tabernacle of God. 15 chapters on the building of the sanctuary of God. Now, if the Lord, you know, creation, the subject of creation is covered in two chapters in Genesis. It's covered in two chapters. The subject of this tabernacle, this sanctuary, the building of it, covers 15 chapters. So if the Lord put 15 chapters in God's Word about the building of the sanctuary, the building of the tabernacle, it must mean that there are several lessons that we can gain from that. Yes, now even in this day and age. Realize that we're in the New Testament age. We're not under the law. We're not under the Old Testament. We're in a New Testament age, a New Testament way of worship. But there are things that we can draw from the Old Testament and apply to us now in this day and age that will help us, that will instruct us and encourage us in this life. Much of the Old Testament is good. It's all right. Much. It's all good for us now. All of God's Word is good for us now. All of God's Word is profitable for us now in this day and age. So we see in the opening remarks here in the 25th chapter, I just want to read the first 7 or 8 verses here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. Now remember, this is for the building of this, the beginning of the building of this tabernacle. Gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and shittim wood. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So the purpose of Israel building this sanctuary was that they would have a place to commune with God. You know, that's what God's church is today. God's church is a place where we can come together. Now, listen, we can commune with God one-on-one outside of the church. And I'm thankful for that. There's many times that I have felt very close in my heart the presence of God and have been made to rejoice in that communion with God. But I want to tell you what, there's a special communion, there's a special presence that we receive when we come together in the Lord's house. And I believe that. And I believe when the church is together and in the right mind and in the right heart, and we're all of the same mind, of the same desire, and we're unified in that, I believe we can commune with the Lord in His house like no other place we can commune with Him. But He says, let me make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Aren't you glad today that there is a place where we can go where God dwells with His people? That we can go to a place, it's called His church. That is the sanctuary of the Lord today. And the church, my friends, is not this building. The church are the people. The people make up the church. We are thankful to have a place of worship. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, this building has nothing to do with communing with the Lord. And what it has to do is that the church, that the body of Christ come together and we worship and serve the Lord. And what a precious thing that is. That's something in my younger years, I didn't realize the importance of that and went astray. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, it's a great blessing to me today to have a place where we can come together and we can commune with the God of heaven. We can commune with the God of creation, and we can call Him Father because He calls us His sons. Thanks be to God. Now I want to tell you what, when we're talking about giving to the Lord, I've already said and set it up, primarily we're talking about in monetary means, but there are all sorts of ways that we ought to be giving to the Lord. And I hope to show you before we close that just giving money is not where it's at. It's not where it's at. There's a lot of other more important or as important things that we need to give to the Lord in our service and our time to God. And it's not just money. It's not just saying, well, I have put my money in the pot and I have done my deed in giving to the Lord and now I'm good now. I'm good, you know, until next week or until next month. No, there's more required of you, dear child of God, than that. But that is important. I want to start off by making a statement that every man freely and willingly gives to his God. Every man freely and willingly gives to his God. You don't have to talk to somebody or try to talk somebody into giving to their God. The question is who is your God? Because who you give to, it shows who your God is. Is your God your house? Is your God your car? Is your God all these hobbies? Is it these luxuries whereby you can take the weekend off and you can go enjoy yourself with the luxuries that you have been able to afford in your life because of the blessings of God? That has everything to do with who your God is. You will freely and you will willingly give to your God. Nobody's ever had to make a man give to that they loved most. They did it freely and they do it willingly. My question to you is what is your God? If Jesus Christ, if God the Father is your God, that is, if you've got Him, you know, He said the very first commandment is thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, and if we have Him as our God, I want to tell you what you will do. You will freely and willingly give to your God. You will willingly and freely give to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if your God is something else in this world, you will willingly and freely give to that as well. And the God of glory, is He going to suffer? No. God's not going to suffer. You know why? Because God doesn't need me and God doesn't need you. Now that's just the truth of it. God doesn't need us. God is not dependent upon us. The one that suffers is not God. The one that suffers is me. Because God is not my God. I've got some God out here in this world. Now you say, well, that you're talking about some figurine or some Diana or some kind of God. Well, sure, yes, that, there's plenty of that that goes on. But I want to tell you that idolatry goes far beyond some figure or some religious monument or something like that. Idolatry is anything you put before God. You have made that your God. Whatever it is, that has become your God. And God doesn't need us. God doesn't need my money. God doesn't need your money. And you say, well, then why in the world do we have to give money? Of all things, we got to give money. Why couldn't it be acorns? I don't know. Why couldn't it be anything besides money? Because I really like my money, right? God knows how much you like your money. That's why God asked you to give to Him, because He knows how much you like your money. And when you put aside the cares of this world, when you put aside the covetousness of the money and you give to the Lord, you're saying, God, I put you above this money. That's what you're saying. So that's why it's important that we understand that giving to the Lord is not that He needs us. It's not that He needs anything from us at all. It's not that He's dependent upon us. As I've already said, He doesn't need me and He doesn't need you. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need your money. What this is all about, it's about us being obedient to the Lord and receiving the blessings of God and acknowledging that we're putting Him first in all things that we do in this life. That's giving in a nutshell. That's giving to the Lord. You know, over in Psalms 50, David was talking about over in Psalms 50 and verse 7. It says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, no, nor he goats out of thy folds. He's saying, I don't need them. That's what he's saying. I don't need your bullocks out of your house. I don't need your goats out of your folds for these sacrifices. He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. The Lord's saying, I don't need you. I don't need what you're doing. This, Israel, these sacrifices are not for me, even though you're commanded to give them. These sacrifices are for you in order to receive the blessings of the Lord and to acknowledge Him first and foremost above everything that you do in this life. These were all to bless the people. He goes on to say, I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. You get the picture? It's all His. If I were hungry, he says, I would not tell thee. I wouldn't even tell you if I was hungry. You know, and that's rhetorical. Does God get hungry? No, but he's bringing it down to our level where we can understand. He says, even if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. You know why? Well, listen to what he says. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I own it all, God's saying. I wouldn't even tell you if I was hungry. He says, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Not because I need it, God says, because I own the world and the fullness thereof. But he says, in giving this sacrifice, you're acknowledging me. You're putting me first in everything that you do. Now that's pretty clear that God doesn't need us. You know, we could go over to Isaiah 40 where he talks about he's put the waters and he holds the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand and has meted out the heavens with a span. This is how big, how wonderful God is. So no, God doesn't need our giving. He doesn't need us, and he is not, thanks be to God, he is not dependent upon us. You know, the TV evangelist will say, God, I can't do this without your contribution. You know, God needs your seed of faith. God needs you to give so that he can reach out and he can go out to those out in a foreign distance. No, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need you to born somebody again by the Spirit of God. He doesn't need you. He does all of that by himself. He does it by himself at his good time. You know why you have a love of God in your heart? It's not because you received Jesus. It's not because you've done something. You have the love of God in your heart because he loved you first and he put his Spirit into your heart. He's not dependent upon man for that either. He's dependent upon himself. And he does that himself. He doesn't need us. All the nations of the earth, he says in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, all the nations of the earth are as a drop in the bucket, as a drop of water in the bucket, all the nations of the earth. Nothing to them. That doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. He loves us with an everlasting love, dear child of God. But his love for us is not through obligation that he has. It is because of his mercy and grace that he loves us. And he doesn't owe us anything, and he doesn't need us for anything. He told the children of Israel, he said, I can raise up rocks to worship me. I'll just raise up, it doesn't matter, I'll raise up rocks to worship me. If you don't want to worship me, I'll raise up rocks to worship me. It doesn't matter. But you know what? He will be worshipped. He will be honored. And he will be glorified somewhere on this earth. And I'd just soon it be right here today at Mountain Home Primitive Baptist Church. And I'd just soon it be right here at this hour that we're here, that we are worshiping our Creator, that we are worshiping God, that we are looking to him in all that we do. So we said that God doesn't need our things. God doesn't need our money. So why do we give then? And we've already mentioned some of these things. So why are we to give? If God doesn't need those things, and he doesn't, why do we give? Why do we give to the Lord? Well, first of all, it shows forth our obedience to God that we give. It's a measure of obedience that we have. And let me show you something here over in the Psalms. That's not Psalms, it's Proverbs. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now there's a commandment. We're to honor the Lord with the things, with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. You know what the first fruits is? The first fruits are the first fruits that come out in your garden. They're the first fruits. If you have an apple tree and all of a sudden you just begin to start having some apples, those are your first fruits. It's showing that there's other apples coming behind that. There's going to be more coming. But these are your first fruits. You know what the Lord's saying we're to give? Our first fruits, not our last fruits. We're to give to him first. You know, so many times when we think about giving to the Lord, we sit down with a checkbook and our finances and we see, well, after I pay this, after I pay this, and I've got to pay this, and I've got to pay that, then I got to have some me money, right? And I got to do this, and I got to do that. All right, and now, how much do we have? Well, it's not going to be much this week, Lord, because I got some bills coming up. You see, you're not giving him the first fruits then. What you're doing is you're giving the Lord what's left over. Lord, I'm just going to give you whatever I have that's left over. That's not first fruits giving. First fruits giving is saying, this is how much, whatever that is, this is how much I'm going to give to the Lord, and I'm going to let the Lord be with me in the matter of paying for everything else. And you know what? You cannot outgive the Lord. I want to tell you that right now. You cannot outgive the Lord. The Lord will be there for you. No matter what you give, in fact, the amount that you give, and we'll get to that in a minute, I'm getting way ahead of myself, is not as important as it is how you give. It's not so much the amount, and we'll get into that, Lord willing. But I want you to see here that there is a commandment that we are to give to the Lord. And we read that here. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and were the first fruits of all thine increase. Now God's saying, you give to me first. But have you read the next verse? What the blessings are? You see, we're giving to Him first. But then what's the blessings that come along with that? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what He's saying? He's saying, you give to me first, and I will bless you with the rest. I'll bless you with that. And isn't that true? Have you experienced that in your giving to the Lord? That God will bless you? There are many times when me and my wife would try to sit down and figure out our finances, and we didn't know how we were getting them paid because the bills were greater than what we were bringing home. But we never did stop with our giving to the Lord. But you know, at the end of every month, we always had enough to pay for the bills, and we had enough to put food on the table, and the Lord was blessing us. You know, back years ago when I was away and wasn't giving to the Lord, you know what? I was just about as broke as one could be. You know why? Because the Lord's going to get His money from you one way or another. You know, I mean, I can't give to the Lord this week. I'm good. Oh, no, now I've got to go to the doctor's. The transmission in my car is broke. Unexpected bill is now here, and they've raised my mortgage rate, or whatever it is. I want to tell you, God's going to take it from you. Listen, anybody here ever got ahead? No. You don't get ahead. You stay, right? Well, you get a nice raise, but you don't get ahead with that. You stay pretty much comfortable in that comfortable zone, thanks be to God. But I want to tell you, it's when you give to the Lord that we receive the blessings. You know, they had forgotten in the book of Malachi to give to the Lord. Or I don't know if they had forgotten as so much as they had decided just not to give to the Lord anymore. In Malachi, I want to tell you, in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, they were in a bad situation. They were in a bad way, and of course for over 400 years after that the Lord was silent to the children of Israel until the coming on of John the Baptist in the New Testament. But we see here in Malachi, in chapter 3 of Malachi, and there's so much we could get into, but for time's sake we'll just read verses 8. Will a man rob God? Let me start with the 7th verse. Even from the days of your fathers are you gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. See, you're not keeping them anymore. He said, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Why are we going to return? He goes on, will a man rob God? This is rhetorical, obviously. Yet ye have robbed me. Why have they robbed Him? They've robbed God because they weren't giving glory to God. They weren't putting God first anymore. He said, but you have robbed me, but you will say, wherein have you robbed? We robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. You've robbed me. Now see, we're robbing God when we're not putting God first in our lives. Again, if God is your God, if God the Father is your God, and you don't have any other gods before Him, I'm not worried about your giving to the Lord, because you will freely and willingly give to the Lord if He is your God. If He is not your God, you'll give to whatever that God is. He said, Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me because you haven't brought in your tithes and your offerings. But then listen to what he says. Just like over in Proverbs, he announces a blessing upon them if they will turn back to the Lord. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, when he's saying prove me, he's saying try me. Test me. This is God saying, test me. Bring me your tithes and test me and prove me now, wherewith said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, now the tithes in the Old Testament, tithing is something that was under the Old Testament. It was 10%. I don't believe the Bible instructs that we are commanded to tithe today in this gospel age. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with giving tithe. I'm not saying you can't outgive God in whatever it is that you give him. There's nothing wrong with tithing. There's nothing wrong with giving more than tithes. But you need to be doing it willingly. You need to be doing it with a happy heart. Because I want to tell you what, God doesn't want your money. It's all about how you give. Because he doesn't need your money, remember? It's about how you give that money and the heart that you give it with. So we see here that there's great blessings because we're to obey him. We're also to give to the Lord because we love him, right? Because we love God and we want to give to the Lord. Paul said in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. It puts us in a tight. You ever heard of being put between a rock and a hard place? That's what constraineth is. The love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. In other words, we all died in Christ on the cross at Calvary. Praise be to God. And that constrains our love for the Lord. That ought to constrain our love for God. So that we would willingly and freely give to him those things that he has surely given us. You know, there's a big difference in giving out of a good heart and just having to give. I enjoy buying gifts or thinking about gifts to buy for my wife or my daughter. And no price is too expensive for me. I can't afford it, but I'm just saying I would, if I had the money, I would freely give them whatever it is that they desired. And I love that, right? We love to give to our loved ones. Now, you know, once a year, I got to give to taxes. I don't love that. That's not something that I'm looking forward to doing every year. Or I got to give to this bill. Or I don't love those things, but I still have to give to them, right? We still have to give. What is your attitude in giving to the church, in giving to the Lord? Is it, well, this is what I just got to do, like paying my bills, like paying the taxes? Or do we do it because we love him, because of what he has done for us? And more that we understand what God has done for us, the more and more that we see his love for us, the more and more our love will grow for him, and the more that we will freely give to the Lord out of a happy heart, out of a rejoicing heart. It's not about how much you give, it's how you give and what you give with in your heart. We also worship, we also give to the Lord because... not only because it's a subject of obedience, not only because that we love him, but we give to the Lord because of everything we have came from him. You don't have anything, dear child of God, in this life that God hasn't blessed you with. Everything that you have comes from the Lord. Your health comes from the Lord. The money that you have, that comes from the Lord. You said, no, it comes from me working 40 hours a week. That's where that... No, I want to tell you what. It is God that got you the job. It is God that has given you the ability to work that job and to make that money. It is all of the Lord. So we ought to give to Him freely because He has given to us all things. You know, when we go over... When I think about that, I go over to Timothy. And I'm reminded when Paul is talking to young Timothy here concerning money and the care of money and how we're to take care of it in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says in the 17th verse, charge them that are rich in this world. We're talking about riches with the riches of this world. Charge them that are rich. And there's nothing wrong with being rich in this world, by the way. There's nothing wrong with the Lord blessing you with a lot of money. The danger of that is it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is not talking about eternal heaven. It's talking about the blessings of the kingdom of heaven now in this life, because that person is, you know, the more money we get, the more we want, the more covetous we get, and our minds and our hearts get away from God. But he goes on, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. You see, that's what the riches of the world are. The riches of the world are uncertain. You may have it today and you may lose it tomorrow. You don't know. But I want to tell you, there's a richness that we have, dear child of God, that we will not lose. And that is the riches of the Lord and what He has given for us. He says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So we give to the Lord because we're in obedience in doing that. We give because we love Him. We love the Lord, and we should, and that causes us to want to give like we give to our loved ones. And then, of course, we give because everything we have came from the Lord. Everything that we have. So that is the first principle. The second principle that I want to cover right quick is that it doesn't concern the amount that you are giving. And we've already mentioned that a few times. It doesn't concern about how much you give. What's more important is how, not how much, but how you give. How is your heart? And more that you are in tune with God, the more and more that you love God and more you're obedient with God, the more and more that you see that everything you have is because of God, I believe the more and more you'll give to the Lord. I think how much you give in proportion to what you make is a direct relationship of how you feel about your Creator in heaven. I think it's a direct relationship. You know, if you just give just a little bit to the Lord, you really don't have but just a little understanding of what God has done for you. And when you give a lot to the Lord, you have a greater understanding of all that God has done for you and all that God will do for you in your faith and trusting in Him. Now listen, I'm not up here preaching today saying you need to go home right now and you need to put your house up for sale and you need to clean out your savings account and your retirement 401k and you need to do all that stuff and give. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm just talking about the spirit of giving. Spirit of giving to the Lord. What you give to the Lord monetarily is between you and God. That's between you and God. But God knows. God knows what you give, and God knows our hearts. And all I'm saying is the more that we see the Lord, and the more that we have the right attitude of giving, and not just, well, I've just got to write this check, and gee, that would have sure got me a good pistol, Brother Patrick. I could have got me a good pistol with that one right there, but I'm gonna put it in the pot, you know, or something like that. No, it's giving to the Lord because you love Him, because you want to give to the Lord. And I can't stress this enough. He doesn't need your money, right? We know that. We know that. But we're giving because it's obedience to Him. And it's showing forth these things. And so we see that the next principle is does not have to be concerned about what you're giving. Going back to the TV evangelist is always saying, you know, give what you don't have. That's faith money. You don't have it, but give it, and God will give it to you. He'll make it. No, you give what you have. Don't give what you don't have, right? That's the way we're to give. But it is the manner in which we give. I want to take you to a common place, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, over in Luke 21. Because you see, in Exodus 25, you remember I read it was silver and gold and precious stones and badger skins was right in there with it. And goat's hair was right in there with it, right there with gold and silver. You see, some might be able to afford gold and silver, and some might just be able to afford badger skins. But you know what? It was all needed. It was all needed. That may be all you can afford is badger skins. But if badger skins is all you can afford, I want to tell you, badger skins were needed as much as that gold and that silver and those precious stones were needed in the Lord's house and the building of that. And that's an important lesson that we need to understand in the Lord's house. We can't all give equally, can we? It's not about how much you give. Go over here to the 21st chapter of Luke, and it says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury." The rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, you know, historical documents, I like to read about some of the historical things that kind of add different pictures of things that you read. I don't know how much truth there is of it, but I believe Josephus and those people were pretty accurate on a lot of things. And they said when they threw their money in the treasury, it was like a big old trumpet or something made out of brass. And as you would throw your money in there, it would make all this noise and almost like bells. And so the more money you had, the louder it was going to be. So, yeah, I mean, you know, somebody come in there and just have a whole pile of money. They just throw it in there and swoosh it around and let everybody hear all the noise and the bells that were resounding off of that so they could tell, you know, that they were giving, how much money they were giving. People say, "Wow, that person just gave a whole lot." So listen to what he says. "And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites." Now, two mites. Wonder how much noise that made. I bet you they didn't even hear it when she dropped it in there. You know, it wasn't like throwing in a big old pile of coins. I bet they didn't even hear the little two mites as they went down and went into the treasury. But you know what? God saw it. The Lord saw it. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all." Those two mites, and here they were just dumping large amounts of money in there, and the Lord says, she has put in more than these rich people have put in. See, it's not how much, it's how. It's how we give. She gave more than all that money that they were. How is that? Listen, he tells us in the fourth verse, for all these have of their abundance. You see what they were doing? They were just giving of their leftovers. They were giving of their abundance. "Well, I've got this left over." You know, God doesn't want our leftovers. God demands and should have better than that in our lives for what he's done. And that's all they were doing, is they were just throwing in their abundance. He says, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." She was casting in money of her sustenance, in other words. She was casting in everything. You see, that's when you give to the Lord. When you're casting in of your sustenance. When you're casting in, when you're giving to the Lord, not what you have left over, but you're giving Him the first fruits. The first fruits of your labor are to be given to the Lord. He blessed her because of what she had done. Even though it was only two little small coins, What a great blessing that was. That's what the New Testament talks about. It talks about sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. You know, when David numbered Israel in Chronicles, and we won't go to that this morning, but he numbered Israel, and God brought judgment upon him and Israel, and there was a plague there, and he sought the Lord, and David said, How do I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this plague? And the Lord told him, says, You go by the threshing floor of Onan. Is that who it is? Let me go run over here right quick over in Chronicles and make sure I've got that pronounced right. Of Ornan. You go by the threshing floor of Ornan. And you go up there on top where that threshing floor is, and you offer a sacrifice unto me. And then he says, and I'll stop the plague. So you know what David does? David runs over to Ornan. And Ornan's over here threshing wheat up on top of this hill where the wind's at. And he goes to Ornan. He says, Ornan, he says, I got to buy this from you. I have to buy this from you because that's the only way that we're going to stop the plague. And you know what Ornan says? You don't have to buy it from me. Now remember, we're talking about sacrificial giving. Ornan says, you don't have to buy it from me. He says, I'll give it to you. If that's going to stop the plague, I'll give you this land. I'll give you the wheat for the meat offering. I'll give you the bullock for the sacrifice. He says, I'll give you all these things. Just take it. You know what David said? No. Now that'd be a terrible business proposition. No. I'm going to give you full price for it. See, that's sacrificial giving. David said, he says, and the king said unto Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. And so he paid Ornan the full price of that. See, that's sacrificial giving. It's giving to the Lord. You know, they say, well, you got to give. You ever heard a preacher say you got to give until it hurts? I've heard that, right? Give until it hurts. No, no. Now, that's giving grudgingly. You don't give until it hurts. God doesn't want that money. God wants a cheerful giver. He wants you to give it cheerfully to Him. And there's so much more that we could talk about as far as this this principle that God it matters how we give. It matters that it's a sacrificial giving. And one last thing that I want to try to cover, and then we'll close. And I think it's a very important principle, is that we give willingly. And we've mentioned that time and time again, that we give willingly. Not that you have, you know, when we go over here to the 25th chapter of Exodus, where we started off this morning, Moses did not demand that they give those things. He didn't say, you've got to give this stuff up. You got to build it. I mean, you have to give this stuff so we can build this place of worship so the Lord can worship with us. What did he say in that second verse? He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering willingly with his heart. That's how we're to give. You know how they were able to build this tabernacle, this place of worship? Because they willingly gave the things that were needed. You know how the church is built? Because people willingly give of their time. They willingly give of prayer, of reading, of meditating, of fellowship, and yes, of money. They willingly give. We're not to just force money and say, yes. It takes money to operate this building, to help the ministry out, of which I am very thankful for. But I got a secret I want to tell you. And don't tell anybody, but I'd be here if you weren't paying me anything. That's how much I love you guys. That's how much I love being here in the Lord's house. So I'm thankful for the money that the church is able to give me. So this is not a sermon so that I can get more money. This is a sermon that we can all have the blessings of God in His house. That we can give willingly to the Lord. When we go on in this book, in Exodus, that is, and we see, and you go all the way over, remember I told you it goes all the way to Exodus 40, through chapter 40 actually, and you get over to chapter 35. And Moses is talking about it again, that they need to give. And listen to what he says in the fifth verse. Take ye from among ye an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Whosoever is of a willing heart. In the 21st verse, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. And in the 22nd verse, and as many as were willing hearted and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and of willingness. See, and he goes on, and there's a couple other places, and we don't have to read that. You can read that in Exodus 35, that they did this willingly. The reason that place was built was because they had a mind to work, and they were willingly giving to the Lord. That's how we ought to give to the Lord, is to do it willingly, not commanding. I know of organizations, of religious organizations, that actually want your tax information so they can determine if you're giving what you should be giving or not. That is not giving with a cheerful heart. That is not giving freely. That is not giving willingly. I want to tell you what, God doesn't want your money if it hurts you that bad. But I want to tell you what, don't expect to continue to receive the blessings of God. Are they directly proportionate? Sure. Yeah, they're directly proportionate. Let me go over here to it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I always get that one confused with 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In the 6th verse, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Let him give as you purpose in your heart, whether it's sparingly or whether it's abundantly. Not grudgingly, not where it's going to cause you pain because you don't want to give. Nor of necessity. Well, if we don't pay, if we don't give, the lights, you know, we're not going to be able to pay for the lights. And, you know, that's an important thing that we have lights in the Lord's house so that we can see. I'm not saying that those aren't important things. I'm saying that if we give right, if we give for the right reasons, we won't have to worry about those things. Those things, the Lord will take care of them. Put them in God's hands. You just give willingly to the Lord, and the Lord will bless us abundantly. He'll bless us, and He'll fill our laps full with more abundance than what we think we can handle. That's what He said to Malachi. There's great blessings in this. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. One that is looking to the Lord. One that has a sacrificial giving to the Lord. Sacrificing himself freely. Sacrificing whatever it is to the Lord, whether it's his money, whatever it is, sacrificing to the Lord in obedience and looking to God. And because you love God and because everything that we have, God has blessed us with. And then we see in Exodus, well, you say, well, you know, okay, so they did all that stuff freely. They gave willingly over here in Exodus. Did they have enough to build it? I mean, did they have enough to build the tabernacle? Did they have enough to have the place of worship? Well, let's go over here to the 36th chapter of Exodus before we leave, and let's see if they were able to get enough from the willing hearts. It says in the 4th verse of the 36th chapter of Exodus, "And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary," now these were the ones that were putting it all together as the things were coming in, "came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring in much more than enough for the service of the work." What about that? "Which the Lord commanded to make." They bring in much more. "And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work of the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And too much. Did they have enough? They had ample. They had more than enough. I want to tell you what, dear child of God. You give willingly to the Lord between you and God. Because you love God. Because it's being obedient to God. And acknowledging that everything we have is from the Lord. You sacrifice yourself. You give to the Lord. And I want to tell you what. You'll have more than you know what to do with. Because you're sacrificing to God. You're not giving Him what's left over. You're giving Him the first fruits. You're giving him the sustenance of your living. May we continue in this life. May we look to the Lord. May we not hold on to our money so tight. But that we may understand that our giving, you're going to give money to something. And you're going to give money to your God. I want God the Father to be our God. I want us to give to Him. Because I want to tell you what, He is there for us. And we could go on and talk about the things that He has given us. He's given us eternal life. He's given us a hope. He's given us a place to come and worship. He's given us the truth. And that's not counting just the monetary blessings that God gives us in this life. He has given us so much. May we continue to give to Him. God bless you. I appreciate the time.